She has served as a religious professional and grounds her own spiritual practice as a Unitarian Universalist. Her experience in congregation and community consultation, leadership, development, coaching, and retreat facilitation spans the last 25 years. Let's welcome Georgia and Nancy, and now I'll turn it over to them.
Well, welcome, and it's just a joy to be with you this morning and last week. What an awesome, wonderful launch we had with Lois last week. And following that launch with Lois and remembering our goal of deepening our awareness of these five habits of the heart that Parker has laid out, in addition to the reading that we're going to be doing together, we've given you some homework. We're calling it extended learning around the first habit, which is we are all in this together. And we're going to start this morning by sharing our experience of that first habit and the extended learning. I want you to, why don't I just read this? We can read it together. Despite our illusions of individualism and national superiority, we humans are a profoundly interconnected species, entwined with one another and with all forms of life. As the global economic and ecological crisis reveal in vivid and frightening detail, we must embrace the simple fact that we are dependent upon and accountable to one another, and that includes the stranger, the alien other. So what we're going to do this morning is start our experience off together by sharing some of the homework that that you may have done. And I want to please remember that if you haven't had a chance to do any of the extended learning that we offered you, or you're just joining us this morning, I know that by the time we get to our breakout rooms, you will have something to share, I promise. And it's really okay just to listen at first. I really want to emphasize there's no guilt allowed. This whole thing should be an adventure. I know a lot of you are progressive Catholics, but no guilt. And then after we've explored a little bit of the that first habit of the heart, then we're going to introduce the second habit. And we're going to watch a video together. We'll be interspersed with some sharing in the whole group. So we'll have two breakout sessions this morning and a real chance to dig into these habits that we've been so graciously exploring. So I'm going to turn it over to Nancy at this point.
Great. Well, it's so wonderful to be with you all. And I put into the chat earlier, well, I'm Santa Barbara based right now. I'm in Philadelphia. And according to some people, bad things happen in Philadelphia, but I'm here for a good thing. And that is the upcoming birth of a granddaughter. And I just so appreciated the grounding time. I'm looking out a window at a very urban landscape. And so to come into coherence and just feel the coherence of an urban landscape as well, and that we really are all in this together. So before we move into sharing about your homework or your not homework, I'm not Catholic. I'm a former Presbyterian. I got plenty of guilt too. So there's plenty of that to go around. So we really do want to be diving into this material, seeing how we can embody it. What are we learning about ourselves as we start to really live into these habits? One of the practices that we use in this courage and renewal work is called the practice of an open and honest question. So we'd like to play with you just a little bit with this and introduce this practice so that you can use it as you move into these triads that we're about to have. I'm going to share another screen here. And I apologize, there's our first habit. And I'm going to move over to our next one. And it looks like it's a little little high for us. So there are guidelines about these questions, and open and honest questions is another way of saying a real question, an authentic question, a genuine question, a question that deepens inquiry. There are a lot of kind of questions we offer each other in day-to-day life. Cocktail party questions, curiosity questions, questions that allow us to insert our own experience. These questions are in support of the touchstone that we introduced last week about no fixing, no saving, no advising, and no correcting each other. It's in support of listening to our own truths. As we're working on embodying these habits, we need to create space that's safe for genuine inquiry, an honest space where I can say, I don't do this habit well. This is the growing edge for my habit. And to do that, to hold presence for each other, we can offer each other these questions. So some real quick guidelines here. Open and we'll send all of these to you after this session. So you can actually print them out if you like and really start living into this practice. So these questions are in service of the person you're listening to. They're not to satisfy your curiosity or, again, give you a chance to offer some advice or share your experience or even the name of a good book. They're invitations. They tend to be the how and the when and the what questions. When I ask my husband, what were you thinking? That's actually not an open question. Tell me more about what you were thinking is an open inquiry. Asking questions that are aimed at this person that you're listening to explore their concern. I think one of the best guidelines about an open and honest question is one you cannot possibly anticipate the answer to. The person that you're offering this question to is the only person on the face of this earth who could possibly know the answer. Avoid questions with yes or no or right or wrong answers. And questions that are brief and to the point are usually open and inquiring questions. I've put here just some examples. You'll recognize them, I'm sure, because you all are pretty practiced in inquiry and presencing. Could you say more about that when you're listening to someone? How do you feel about this situation or this person? Does this situation feel like any previous experiences you've had? Or looking back on this situation 5 years from now, what would you like to be able to say about it? Those are just some of the examples of open and honest questions. So we'd like to offer all of us a chance to practice that just a little bit. I'm going to share about my adventure just briefly, just as if I were in a triad. Sharing with two of you. And as you listen to me, here's the invitation. If you can think of an open and honest question, type it into the chat. Or if chat is not your cup of tea, just wave wildly and we'll offer it. Now, this is learning. So we're not going to grade you on a question that you offer. But what we may do is say, oh, perhaps that wasn't open, but rewording the question this way might be. Again, we're going to take just a couple minutes. So let me tell you, this adventure, the adventure we suggested was that you get in contact with someone who you have some regular contact in your life. I changed my adventure because I'm in a place that I'm not that familiar with. I'm in this urban landscape of Philadelphia, and I thought, I'll just let this adventure come to me. And wouldn't you know, my husband and I were walking down the streets of Philadelphia back from an errand, and I noticed a squirrel on the street, on the sidewalk, and this squirrel had an avocado, and I paused. And I noticed the squirrel, and within seconds, out of this townhouse door, burst a woman who said, don't bother the squirrel, that's my squirrel. And she and I engaged in a conversation. I first said, oh, I was just marveling at this squirrel. She says, well, that's my squirrel. And I gave him that avocado. And I said, I was just admiring your Halloween decorations and all your landscape. You have a small patch here and you're growing these. And 20 minutes passed as I listened to this woman, asked her some questions, and discovered how many things we had in common with each other. And I think what was most remarkable was when she said to me, now, she and I see the world very differently. We'll get into that next week. But she said to me, in reference to the Vietnam Memorial, was where our conversation had wandered. She said, I have a lot of names on that wall. And that's when it struck me how connected we were. And I said to her, I have a lot of names there too. So here's a chance for those of you who might be feeling courageous or daring or willing to take a risk, or say, test Georgia and I and say if we really mean it, that this is practice. Type something into the chat. What's a question you would offer to me to deepen my own sharing and learning? Oh, Darlene, thank you. Tell me more about the names I'm connected to on that wall. That's just awesome, because that brings that into me and my own sharing and deepens my connection. Jenny's paying attention. Could you say more about that? Right off the offered question, you just can't go wrong with one of those questions. Anybody else? How did it feel when you made that connection to this woman? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I notice is I want to respond to that question right now. I'm not going to. And that's just one of those signals that you've asked a question that was meaningful. Tell me more about how I felt. Yeah. Initially to the woman. Mm-hmm. So y'all have the hang of this one. So I think you understand where we're headed here. Oh, we've got more questions coming. What past experience did this evoke? So that's open and honest questions. Now, as we move into our triads, and Tim is going to be setting those up for us, and we're going to take a full 15 minutes in the triads. Please share your time equally. Sometimes there's going to be more than three people, because we know with this Hollywood Square, sometimes there are two people. So share that and take some time just to reflect back on this habit. We're all in this together. If you did the adventure, share about that. Leave a little time so your listening partners can offer you an open, honest question and go ahead and respond to it. You know, maybe you just did some reflecting on interconnectedness over the week. Maybe you read through the wandering around the Albuquerque airport with a suggested reading about that. Maybe you found a news article or read a magazine article that actually demonstrated to you this interconnectedness that we're about. So there's no right or wrong way to do this. It's a short amount of time. I want to remind you too about our touchstones. So this is about deep listening, not interrupting, pacing ourselves. 15 minutes isn't a long time, but it's also a generous amount of time to slow ourselves down. Any questions about what we're going to head off into now? And when we come back, we'll do a little bit of sharing as well. So Tim, I think we're ready for those breakouts.
Okay, friends, they are ready to go. So you're going to be invited here in a moment. You'll have to receive the invitation, and don't forget to unmute yourself as you head to breakout rooms. Here we go.
Stephanie, I'm going to call you.
Oh, okay.
Hey friends.
Look forward to that.
Welcome back, y'all.
Hi. Hi, y'all.
George, are you ready to lead us in the next?
I am. And I'm going to ask for your help in this, Tim. I think you're okay. Better orchestrating the group sharing because you can, I think, see people better. So what we've got a few minutes to just anyone who might be willing to share anything that you'd like to from your experience so far this morning, anything, you know, any ahas or any takeaways, anything that you might like to share with the whole group. And Tim will call on you.
Yeah, one of the easiest ways to do that is to, you can digitally raise your hand by clicking the participants tab and clicking the raise hand feature, or you can also type something into the chat saying a question or sharing, or even saying, hey, I'm ready to speak. So, okay, there's Anne with a raised hand. So Anne Steinmetz, you wanna jump in?
Okay, so I was in a room with only two people, so that put us both sort of on the spot. And neither one of us had done our homework. So we actually talked about, well, we'd done some of it. We both had looked at the videos. And then I mentioned the video that we saw on Tuesday in Catherine's group, which also related to this, but with animals. And so we talked about that a little bit. And then we got into talking, she said something about swimming and being behind, and that's why she didn't do her homework. And so then I asked her to tell me about swimming. And so she told me about how she swims, and I'm a swimmer. And we spent a lot of time talking about swimming and our relation, how we did swimming, and, you know, not like, oh, I just do this and this, but how we felt about swimming. And so it was really, so we sort of did our homework in the group. It worked out well.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right, Annette also had a hand up. So Annette, if you want to unmute, you should be able to go ahead and share.
Hi, everybody. So I didn't do the homework either, but what I got out of being in the group and just listening to Nancy and Georgia is that I spend way too much time talking about myself and not asking questions.
We hear that.
Yeah.
All right. Jackie Reed, see a hand up?
Yes.
You can go ahead.
Well, we started out talking about this one nice lady, began with a J too, I think it was Judy. Anyway, making connections to begin with, and how she, in her experience, she was able to reach out and help people that she had hardly known before. But what we got into with the questions was she going to be able to ask for help herself? And she shared with us how much more difficult, how much easier it is to give help than to receive help, than to even admit you need it. And that is sort of, you have to have that back and forth with connection. It can't all go one way. And this is something I think we all need to work on, is to trust people enough to simply say, I need help, and see who pops up. It won't be everybody that can help you, but there'll be somebody there. Mm-hmm. And then I shared my own experience of moving into a retirement home just before the shutdown and not mm-hmm. getting to know anybody, literally shut up in our houses. We could walk outside our doors, but we weren't even allowed to get in a car and go grocery shopping. So I had a very hard time meeting people, and everybody I met had masks and dark glasses and hats on. It was hard to recognize people. I began to recognize them by their dogs. And at this point, we are all much closer together simply by knowing that we all have this mutual need. Everybody says hello. People meet and distance. And there is a great deal more camaraderie than I think there would have been before. There were little cliques before, good friends who knew each other, which is a natural thing to get into. But now, again, we have been forced to realize that we're all in this together. This is a great big group of about over 200 people here. And we're all beginning to know each other simply from meeting each other on walkways. And everybody always says hello and passes a few little words about what's going on in their life. And I am beginning to feel really connected and loving this and thinking, this is one good thing that came out of the pandemic. I have met people in different ways and in ways that have enriched my life.
It's a wonderful story. Thank you. Anyone else? Got room for maybe one more?
I'll say something.
Great, thank you.
One of the participants in my group told a wonderful story about the stone soup, and it echoed the Naomi's experience at the airport. Mm-hmm. That once we start connecting at the level of the heart and reach out, it's contagious. It brings the whole group together. And Naomi's story confirmed that, how suddenly it turned into a big party, whereas before no one talked to each other at the airport. And it illustrated this concept of the body of Christ.
Yes.
So, that's how we wove it together. That's all.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we're going to end our reflections on this habit. I'm going to just share with you some parting words from Parker Palmer. In the company of strangers, we can learn that we are all in this together, despite our many differences, that some of our differences are enriching and those that are vexing are negotiable, that it is possible to do business amicably with one another, even in the face of conflicting interests. So thank you everyone for your sharing. And the homework will be there whenever you decide to pick it up. There are some wonderful poems and links to really fun videos, et cetera. So as we go through this, I encourage you to backtrack if you would like. And at this point, we're moving into our second habit of the heart, embracing the value of otherness. And I think Nancy's going to put it up on the screen. An appreciation of the value of otherness. Despite the fact that we are all in this together, we spend most of our lives in tribes or lifestyle enclaves. Thinking of the world in terms of us and them is one of the many limitations of the human mind that can be overcome only by continual discipline and practice. The good news is that us and them does not need to mean us versus them. It takes us back to the ancient tradition of hospitality to the stranger, translating it into meanings that apply to our 21st century lives. This is a tradition that does not blink at the fact that many people will always be strangers to us, or that we will always be the stranger to many others. The tradition of hospitality affirms the many ways we can receive and learn from the stranger, allow the otherness to enlarge and revitalize our lives, including the kind of otherness that seems alien and even threatening. This kind of hospitality is impossible if we are unable to see the creative possibilities inherent in diversity. So what we're going to do now is Tim is going to share a video that we're going to watch together.
My name is Wes Moore, and back in December of 2000, the Baltimore Sun announced I'd received the Rhodes Scholarship and wrote a piece on my life. The article talked about my childhood and described some of the difficulties I'd encountered while growing up. One of those difficulties was losing my father when I was 3 years old. He was a well-known newscaster and radio personality in the Baltimore and DC area. One day, he contracted a rare illness that killed him within hours. I watched helplessly as he died in front of me. My mother did her best raising us on her own. But before I was even a teenager, I became disillusioned with school and getting into trouble in my neighborhood. At great expense and taking a huge financial risk, my mom sent me to a military school she'd heard about. I ran away 5 times before giving it a chance. It was there that I found a greater sense of purpose. But in Baltimore, there was another Westmore who was failing. The year the Baltimore Sun reported on my life, they also ran a series of articles on his life. The other Westmore was living in the same area of Baltimore, around the same age, we shared the same name, and we both grew up with single mothers.
Police tell Eyewitness News Wesley John Moore and Richard Antonio Moore were caught just before 3:30 in the 2200 block of 19th Street in downtown Philadelphia. The arrest was made by the FBI Fugitive Task Force. Police tell Eyewitness News both men were in a relative's house and did not resist arrest. The Moore brothers are wanted on first-degree murder warrants in connection with the February 7th shooting death of Sergeant Bruce Prothero during a robbery at J. Brown Jewelers in Pikesville.
That year, while I was on my way to study at Oxford, my namesake was on his way to do life in prison. Years later, after I returned from Oxford, I was haunted by the sharp contrast and the eerie similarities between my story and the other Westmore. I reached out to Wes and began writing him, then visiting him in prison, trying to learn more about him. I wanted to know, what were the differences between us? What happened in each of our lives that caused two dramatically different fates? What I discovered was this. The chilling truth is that his story could have been mine. The tragedy is that my story could have been his. To understand our destinies and to explore larger, urgent questions about opportunity and fate, individual choice and our priorities as a society, I wrote a book called The Other Westmore.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Tim. What we're going to do now in just a moment is go back into breakout rooms. Nancy's going to put in the chat some reflection questions. They are, what themes of otherness do you see in these twin stories? And this question, Wes Moore says, the tragedy isn't just that my story could have been his, but that his could have been mine. Whose story could have been yours? Whose story could yours have been? So we're going to ask Tim to create dyads, and we'll spend just a few minutes in these dyads reflecting on those questions together.
Yeah, just a reminder, those questions are in the chat.
Let me interject here too. I know I'm aware, I'm having a lot of feelings come up having watched that video clip, and it's not the first time I've watched the clip. So I'm just going to invite you to be kind and gentle to yourself and to the partner that you're listening to.
Thanks, Nancy. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go, friends.